You only need one person's approval, God's. If God likes you and you like you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You don't need other people's approval to be happy. You just need God's approval. In verse 35, it says, all the people on the earth are nothing compared to him. Who do you want, when you die, who do you want saying good job? The people around you or God? You made your life count. Who do you want saying that, God or just a bunch of people?
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Have you ever felt pressured to make choices that don't align with your values? Well, the truth is, we all have. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Box. This beautifully designed and stylish vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated scripture cards that will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you. You can take a sneak peek just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with the final part of a message called When God Tests You with Success.
And I want you to see now the steps that Nehemiah took back to sanity. This is the road to recovery. And he did three things. When you have a major failure in your life, you need to do these exact three things. He looked up, he woke up, and he spoke up. Let's look at the first. Number one, write this down. Three steps to recovery after failure. First, look up to God. Look up to God. And the Bible says in Daniel 4, verse 34, at this time, after this time had passed, you know, when he had lost his mind, I, Nebuchadnezzar, he's given the testimony. This chapter is his testimony. I, Nebuchadnezzar, looked up to heaven and my sanity returned. Literally, it says in the Hebrew, he lifted up his eyes to heaven. Do you need to do that today? Some of you have never taken this first step. You're in a heap of trouble right now. You're in a mess. You're in a mess in your life. It's going the wrong way. But you're looking to everything else and everybody else to solve it. You're looking to other people. You're looking to the government. You're looking to yourself. You expect your husband or your wife to solve it. Whatever. You're in a mess. You need to look up to God. You need to get your eyes on heaven. Refocus on God. Not be looking at anything and everybody else. Now, by the way, sometimes God has to lay you flat on your back to get you to look up. I hope he doesn't have to do that to you. Just do this now. Look up to God. The second thing he did is he woke up. Here's the second step. Wake up to God's greatness and start worshiping. Wake up to God's greatness, not your own greatness, but God's greatness. And start worshiping him. Worship just means focus on God. When you focus on God's greatness, that's called worship. You wake up to God's greatness and you start worshiping. You get your focus off yourself, off your problem, off your humiliation, and you get your focus back on God. How do you do that? You start worshiping again. If in the past you used to read your Bible a little bit every day or try to pray every day and read the Bible, that's called a quiet time. You need to do that with regularity. You need to develop that habit and start focusing, worshiping on God every day. If you've been inconsistent in your small group or you haven't been in a small group for a while, you need to get in a small group again. You need to start going every week and be consistent, worshiping God. You see, in good times, you start backing off. Go, hey, I don't need to go to church this week. I'll go once a month. That's cool. You know, now that we got money, let's buy a boat or a cabin or a condo or an RV, and we'll spend 3 weeks playing, and once a month, we'll go to church. Really? Is there anything more important in your life than worshiping God and hearing from him on a regular basis? If you know something that will help your life more than going to worship God, stand up and tell us right now, because I'll go do it with you, because I'm not going to waste my life. Just tell us. No, getting in touch with God every week in worship. You know, when the doors are open at a church, I'm going to be there. Why? Because I've often wondered, what if that was the week God wanted to speak to me that was going to turn the direction of my life, build the career that I never even imagined? And if I didn't go that week, I missed it. I missed it. I don't want to miss what God says to me. Some of you need to make a recommitment to be at worship every single week, not like once a month or every 2 weeks or whenever. It's more important for me to hear from God than to hear from television or hear from anything else going on in life. So I wake up to God's greatness and I start worshiping again, and I'm there and I worship God all the time. Verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar says, "My sanity returned, and I praised and worshiped the Most High," that's God, "and I honored the one who lives forever." This is the second step to recovery. My sanity returned when I started praising and worshiping and, you know, being grateful for the things God has done in my life. Now, I want you to write this down. I don't know what bad thing you're going through right now, but I will tell you this. We get better when we replace pride with praise. We get better in any area of our lives when we replace pride in ourselves with praise to God. Now, let me say it again. Every time things are going good in your life, this is as much a test as the bad times, as the delays, the difficulties, and the suffering, and the pain. Every time things are going good in your life, God's going to go, are they going to become prideful? Or are they going to become praiseful? Are they going to just think, hey, look how cool we are, I am, or look how cool God is? I would not have any of this if it weren't for God. You know, about 1,000 years before this event, and this happened about 2,500 years ago, 1,000 years before this event, Moses said the same thing to the Jews who were coming out of 400 years slavery in Egypt. God had promised for generations, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to take you out of slavery from Egypt, and I'm going to give you a land of your own. It's called the Promised Land, and it's a cool place. And they spent 40 years walking across the desert where God tests them many times. And Moses is actually more afraid of the success in the Promised Land than he is of the slavery in Egypt. He's much more worried. He says, I'm afraid you guys are going to stop depending on God when things are going good, when you're in the gravy years of your life. And so he says this. He gives this warning before they go into the Promised Land. Deuteronomy 8, verse 2. Remember how God led you through the wilderness these past 40 years. He's talking to the Jews who have been enslaved and then freed. He humbled you while you're out there in the wilderness by letting you go hungry. You know, sometimes God humbles you by letting you go hungry. You're hungry for a relationship you don't have. You're hungry for a need or a job or something that you don't have. And God lets you go hungry in order to humble you. He said he humbled you, and he said he tested you with hardships many times. We're all familiar with that. To test your character and to see if you will obey whatever he commands you to do. Will you obey God when things aren't going good? Now, he says, here comes the other test, the test of success. Now, God is bringing you into a good land. This is the Promised Land. A land with plenty of water. You can have all you want. With bountiful crops, with orchards full of fruit, with abundant copper and iron in the ground so you can build your tools, make your tools. And you will lack nothing. Your bank account will be big enough. You're not worried about paying your bills anymore. So, he says, when you're full and you're satisfied and you're prospering, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with gratitude for all he has given you. The attitude of gratitude is the first line of defense against falling into ego and arrogance. The more grateful you are, the more humble you will be. The more prideful you are, the less grateful you are.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Please stay with us because there's a lot more of our series, Unshakable, coming right up.
Thanks for joining us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As Christians, we know that in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need his word deep down in our hearts. Right now, I'd like to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This vegan leather box is filled with full-color, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards, along with graphically designed four-color lined cards for your favorite Bible verses, personal notes, and observations. This resource will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you, when you're looking for answers to difficult questions, or when you just need to be refreshed in the Lord. The Verses of Hope Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your office or living space. It's a great way to start a conversation with people around you about God's Word. Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own Verses of Hope Scripture Box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
The attitude of gratitude is the first line of defense against falling into ego and arrogance. The more grateful you are, the more humble you will be. The more prideful you are, the less grateful you are. So he says, praise God. And remember, you got two choices when things are going good in your life. Praise God or be proud of myself. He says, when you're full and satisfied, be grateful to God. But, he says, be careful. This is a warning, danger, Will Robinson, warning that you do not forget the Lord, and that you continue always to obey every command of God. It's so easy to forget God when things are going good. Otherwise, when you have built your fine houses and your gold and silver have multiplied, in other words, you got money in the bank, your stock portfolio is doing good, your heart will become proud. Here's praise and pride contrasted. And you will forget that it was God who saved and delivered you out of your slavery and gave all this to you. Have you forgotten that? And when you become successful, do not think, I did this all by my own strength, and I became rich by my own power. You know, look how cool I am. I'm Entrepreneur of the Year. Instead, remember that it is God, your Lord, who gives you the ability and strength to produce wealth. Those guys, those of you who are entrepreneurs, you need to write that verse down and put it in your car and on your desk and in your mirror, that it is God who gives you the ability and strength to produce wealth. That is a gift from God. That is a gift from God, and you need to thank Him for it. He says, I warn you, if you ever forget God and you begin turning things into idols that you worship, I turn my car into an idol and I worship, I turn my boat into, I turn my career, I turn things that we've created into idols instead of worshiping the creator of everything. He says, I warn you, if you ever forget God and begin turning things into idols that you worship, God will destroy it all and your nation, just as He has destroyed other nations before you who forgot God. I don't know another verse in the Bible that is needed by America than that verse right now. Our nation has forgotten God. Let's just remember, this nation was founded by believers, Christians, who came to America. They were called pilgrims, to start a new country, a new land, where they could worship God freely. They came for religious reasons. They were called pilgrims. They're the pilgrim fathers of this church. And for 300 years, the Bible was taught in every single classroom in America for 300 years. It's only been taken out of schools about the past 75 years. And we've forgotten God. And I shudder to think what could happen to our nation, to our country. What is he saying here? Success is dangerous. He's saying, be careful. There is a danger when you experience the blessing of God. You see, let me just put this in perspective for you. Your greatest test in life not may be when you lose your job, but when you get a new job. And all of a sudden you're so involved in it, you forget God and church and worship and service and ministry and all these other things. Your greatest spiritual test in life may not be when you go into debt, but when you get a raise. And you go out and you buy some stuff that keep you from thinking about God because you're so busy, you know, out. I say, look, we're this weekend, we're not going to church, we're going to do recreation. We're going to wreck creation. At the lake, at the beach, at the river, we're going to go wreck creation. And so you get a raise. Let me just tell you, here's what you do. When God blesses your life, you welcome it. Thank you, God, for this blessing. You celebrate God's blessing in your life. You celebrate the successes. But then you get on your knees and you're humble yourself and say, God, I realize I wouldn't have any of this if it weren't for you. I could have been born in Sudan or Biafra, Pakistan, Myanmar. I could be a homeless kid on the street somewhere. I didn't choose when and where I was born. I didn't choose my natural giftedness. I didn't choose my talents. I didn't choose the freedoms that I have to excel. It all comes from you, God. And you humble yourselves. Now, while Nebuchadnezzar is going through this recovery, he learns four things about God. He wants to tell the whole world about him. And the next four statements I want you to write down, because these are statements that will stabilize your life, whether you're going through success or suffering. Doesn't matter, good times or bad times, you need to always remember these four things that God is in control. Write these down. Four things Nebuchadnezzar says about God that he learned in his fall. Number one, God's kingdom will outlast everything I do. God's kingdom will outlast everything I do. So if you want to make a lasting impact with your life, bet on the kingdom of God. Your career is not going to last, but the kingdom of God is going to last forever. Verse 34, God's rule is everlasting and his kingdom is eternal. That's why Jesus said, seek first, make your number one priority, the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff that you need, the passion, the pleasure, the position, all the stuff you need, it'll be taken care of. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. He said, make your number one priority something that's going to last. Not my career, not my reputation, but God's kingdom. Build your life on God's kingdom. It's far more important than your career. God didn't put you here just for your career. So he says, I learned God's kingdom is going to outlast everything I do. Second thing he learned was this. God's approval matters more than all the others. Everybody else may disapprove of me, but if God approves of me, it doesn't really matter. You only need one person's approval, God's. If God likes you and you like you, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. You don't need other people's approval to be happy. You just need God's approval. In verse 35, he says, all the people on the earth are nothing compared to him. Who do you want, when you die, who do you want saying good job? The people around you or God? You made your life count. Who do you want saying that, God or just a bunch of people? Third thing he learned, God's power is absolute. Which means he's big enough for any problem you're going to face in your success. Verse 35 and 37, Nebuchadnezzar says this, he, God, has the power to do whatever he pleases. He can do it among the angels of heaven, and he can do it with those who live on earth. Okay, his power is absolute. No one can stop him or challenge him or even question what he does. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. And Nebuchadnezzar would have said, and I'm exhibit A. Okay, I was the most prideful man on the planet, and God humbled me. Now look at verse 36. It said, when God restored my sanity, he also gave me back my honor and kingdom. This is true. This is what happened. And all my leaders returned to me, and my kingdom became greater than ever. So if you've had a big fall, it's not over. It's not over till you're dead. He said, all my leaders returned to me, my kingdom became greater than ever, so now I praise and I exalt and I glorify, that's called worship, the King of Heaven, that's God. He said, I'm a king, but he's the king of heaven, because everything he does, God does, is always right, it's always true, and it's always fair. Now that means, here's the fourth thing he learned, write it down. God never makes any mistakes. We do, but he doesn't. We don't understand why everything's happening, but he does. And we don't have to understand. God is in control.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down, and also keep them deep within your heart." But how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways, and here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, I can't do that. Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart." To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's Word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, I can't memorize anything. Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's Word, listen to God's Word, and live God's Word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own vegan leather Verses of Hope scripture box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.